Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All thanks and mercies and praises be unto God Almighty. Salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. Salawat and salams, love and blessings upon our foremost leader, our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his noble companions and family and friends, and all those who follow his divinely inspired tariqah and sunnah path until the final hour. Our dear and honored and respected viewers of Deen TV, I greet you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The peace and blessings of God Almighty on you all. On behalf of the International Peace College South Africa, the staff and student population, it gives me great pleasure and privilege to extend unto you all a celebrated message of Eid al-Fitr, Eid Mubarak, Kullu Aam wa Antum Bikhair, and that you will have a joyous occasion of celebration on this momentous culmination of the conclusion of the holy month of Ramadan. Our purposes for observing the fast during the holy month of Ramadan were clearly articulated and clearly enunciated. It is our prayer that we have all devoted ourselves and dedicated ourselves to those purposes in order that we may emerge out of this month having increased our spiritual capacities, having increased our reserves of faith, and having a closer sense of association with the Almighty Creator. Allah Most High says in the Holy Quran, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And such it is that after the culmination of the holy month of Ramadan, and you have completed that appointed term of the fast of this month, and thereafter that you celebrate the majesty and the glory of your Creator God Almighty, and through the engagement of the chanting of the takbir, the traditional takbir, in the evening of the first of the month of Shawwal, and the morning of the first of the month of Shawwal. And thereafter God Almighty says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, in order that you may attain unto thankfulness and gratitude for your Creator. And so the entire exercise and the entire experience of the holy month of Ramadan, of trying with the rigor and with the amount of sacrifice and striving and strenuous deprivation from food and drink in order to achieve and attain unto those levels of self-discipline and self-restraint, Allah Most High, in a sense, wants to bring to our attention that all of that is to transform our being, is to transform our own selves, to be thankful creatures, to be thankful servants of God Most High. And so gratitude and appreciation abounds in the psyche, abounds in the mind, and the remembrance of the Muslim on this auspicious day for having had the opportunity of reconnecting with his Creator during the holy month of Ramadan, for having had the opportunity to reconnect with the Holy Quran. Indeed, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And to reconnect also with that sense of establishing common humanity, establishing and firming in our minds our sense of common humanity with every human being and with fellow religionists, fellow Muslims. For indeed, the holy month of Ramadan is also a month of concern, a month of charity, a month of kindness, a month of generosity. And these are all the observances that become not only the practices which the Prophet, peace be upon him, had emphasized during especially the holy month of Ramadan, but they're also the very values, the purposes whereof we observe the fast in the holy month of Ramadan. And so we emerge with those spiritual capacities. We also emerge with a heightened sense again of awareness and consciousness. And we pray that that and those are the objectives that we have achieved during this holy month of Ramadan. And so our observances of the Siyam, our observances also of the Qiyam, the standing in front of God Almighty, as part and parcel of the forms of rituals and the forms of worship during the holy month of Ramadan, that they become far more linked, they become far more emanating from the heart, and that the heart becomes far more engaged and committed during those periods of observance. And so our beloved viewers, we also bring back the essence of purpose on this auspicious day by listening to the words of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he said, إِنَّمَا الْعِيدُ لَيْسَ الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدُ إِنَّمَا الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ يَخَافُ الْوَعِيدُ, that the day of Eid is not so much for those who don new clothes and for those who engage in material expedition. On the contrary, the day of Eid is rather for those who engage in remembrance and awareness of the day of accountability and the day of reckoning, the day wherein which we have to hold ourselves to account in front of our Lord God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in this sense again, our spiritual rejuvenation guides us that even in celebration, it's not a material oriented celebration. It is expression of happiness, it's expression of joy, but for great gratitude and for appreciation for having been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the holy month of Ramadan to reconnect with Him, to reconnect with ourselves, to reconnect with our societies, and to reconnect with our ultimate source of guidance, the Holy Quran. And so as we proceed on this particular day, it is our prayer that God Almighty allow us that such benefits and such lessons that we have gained during the holy month of Ramadan to really, in a sense, prevail over our own selves, to prevail over our sense of personal interest or personal desire and personal lust, that carries us through the entire year that lies ahead of us. And so God Almighty says in the Holy Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Do you see, O Muhammad, such that take their desires and their lusts as the God that they worship, and they become slavishly in pursuit of their desires and their lust, do you think that such people can have any control over themselves, or that anyone can have control over them? Do you even think, says Allah further, أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ, do you even think that the majority of them are able to listen to what you have to say, or that they can even reason or understand what it is that you are saying? And then God Almighty says, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ, nay, they are but like cattle grazing. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, in fact, they are lower in status than those very animals. And so prevailing over ourselves and then defining and refining our own selves are of those higher purposes of the holy month of Ramadan, which we sincerely pray that God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will allow us to take us through the remainder of the year. And we pray that our children, we pray that our communities will be safe, and that our communities will engage in those exercises of renewal and the rejuvenation. Whilst we are celebrating the day of Eid, it is impossible for us to spend this day without shedding a thought and sharing a thought and reflection on some of the experiences and the conditions that Muslims in different parts of the world are undergoing at this moment in time, and more particularly in the Muslim world. Muslims are experiencing very difficult and trying times. Muslims are living in conditions of conflict. They are living in conditions of war. They are living in conditions of deprivation. They're also living under circumstances of unjust rule and unjust politics. And so during this time, I think as Muslims, first and foremost, living in South Africa, it becomes important for us to ask the question, what is it that we ought to do from a leadership position, from a position of community, religious leaders, community leaders, academic leaders, even business leaders? What do we do in order to share and hold up the very good and favorable circumstances that we are enjoying in our beloved country here in South Africa? What ought we to do in order to share this model of peaceful coexistence and peaceful and tolerant lives among one another, as well as alongside our fellow citizens? How do we hold that up as a model so that Muslims living in different parts of the world may even be able to take lesson, especially from ourselves? I think it is important for us that we reflect on some of the causes why we find that the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recall in the Holy Quran for us, in ways in which Muslims or humankind in general will find trials and tribulations. What are some of the causes behind that? And I think more pertinently, I wish to draw our attention to a particular verse where Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبَعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِهِ أَوْ مِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon the Prophet, peace be upon him, to reflect and see how amongst humankind, given their circumstances in history and given how they conduct their affairs, that God is able to send upon them tribulation and trial, and God is able to send upon them wrath in the form of natural calamity from above them or from below them. Or he says, O yalbisakum shi'a, he is also able to clothe you into circumstances of sectarian conflict. وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ, and he can make you taste the wrath of one another. This, unfortunately, I think is a very pertinent point that we need to reflect on as society, why it is that we find the mutual conflict in the Muslim world unfolding in the way that it has. And it is common cause that of the major contributing factors in this regard is, in fact, the sectarian conflict, the intolerance, and the sense of excommunication of one another that have really been contributing factors towards the condition and the situation that Muslims find themselves in. And so we do find that those who have imperial ambitions in the region, they exploit those very social circumstances that the Muslims bring to bear within their societies. I'd like to reflect on the words of an author and journalist when he says, in particularly Graham Fuller, he says that had it not been that there was a religion like Islam, had it not been that there was a prophet like Muhammad in the world today, he says that the political relations between the West and the Middle East would have precisely or more or less been the same as we find them in the world extent today. because of the imperial ambitions of those who wish to secure natural resources. We know the examples of the gas wars that have erupted and that continue to erupt, and all of those political reasons why there are invasions in the Muslim world. We have seen how in 2003, the invasion of Iraq on false pretenses have been accompanied by a specific design of divide and rule, where Muslims of Iraq, who have lived amongst one another in peace for centuries, have been stoked against one another. Conflict on the lines of sectarian divides have been stoked deliberately in order to bring about anarchy and violence amongst the communities. It is up to us to identify the danger of sectarian conduct in our community, because there are those who have the ambition and the desire to exploit those differences in the communities. And this is historical fact at this moment in time. And so therefore, it behoves us as Muslims in our society, Muslims, lay people, Muslim leadership, that we come together and reflect on how we ensure that we not only hold up as models our own positive experiences for others living in different parts of the world, but that we continue to critically introspect, to ask ourselves the question also, how do we ensure that we preserve that very privileged and positive experience of Muslims here in our beautiful country that have been going on for 350 years? How do we safeguard that? How do we enhance that? How do we leverage that in order to ensure that we make a greater social impact in our societies? How do we leverage that in order to ensure that the contribution that Muslims are able to make to this beautiful nation is even amplified and becomes more entrenched and consolidated? It reminds me of the time when the Prophet, peace be upon him, during the very first emigration, the very first hijrah that Muslims ever undertook, was to Abyssinia. And the Prophet sent the persecuted Muslims and the young nascent community that suffered at the hands of those who wished to crush the emergence of the young Muslim community at the time. And he sent them on the first emigration to Abyssinia. Abyssinia at the time was ruled by the Negus. The king of Abyssinia, who was a Christian person, was known as the Negus. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that go to Abyssinia, for indeed Abyssinia is being ruled by a king in whose presence none shall be oppressed, none shall be dealt with unjustly. And so our emergence out of our struggle as South Africans have known such leaders who were the proponents and the champions of justice, in whose presence and under whose rule none will and have been oppressed and dealt with unjustly. And these are values that we as South Africans have enshrined in our legal composition as a nation, in our constitution. And these are Islamic values, and these are universal values that we as human beings hold dear. And so we pray that God Almighty allows us the foresight, allows us the wisdom and the vision to be able to take our spiritual refinement, our spiritual restraint, and our spiritual development, which we have been exposed to during the holy month of Ramadan, and bring that to bear on how we take ourselves forward for the remaining months of this year, in a mindset and in a sense of spiritual awareness and heightened spiritual capacity, heightened spiritual consciousness, as we have said at the beginning, which is the very purpose of celebration on the day of Eid, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that لَيْسَ الْعِيدِ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدِ, that indeed Eid is not only for those who have a material outlook of preoccupation with new clothes, but rather Eid is indeed and in fact for those who have a spiritual orientation, an awareness and a consciousness of their service to their Creator, service to humanity, and service to your society. Once again, I extend unto all of you a warm and a joyous Eid, and may God Almighty take us all into the next year with a sense of achievement and accomplishment for His cause and His pleasure. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and the peace and blessings of God Almighty on you all.